There seem to be never-ending stories of spooks and things going bump in the dark. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. It's insane. I believe this is episode 54 of the Unexplained and Strange Horror Story series. As always, if you have a story that you would like to submit to this series, be sure to do so at swampdweller.net. or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going on a daily basis. Joining me today reading one of the stories is my friend, Curious Raven. If you enjoy her voice, please be sure to check out her channel. You can find the link to do so in the description down below. Now, without further hesitation, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true unexplained horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. Hello, Swamp Dweller. I have been toying with the idea of sharing my encounters, and seeing as I listen to your show the most, I thought I would send it to you. My grandmother used to live in a beautiful one-story, three-bedroom house. She has since moved to a different state to live closer to my aunt for health reasons. For most of my childhood, she lived alone in this house, except for an old poodle named Peaches. This poodle had arthritis in her hips. This is important to know for later. Now, a little history on the family in the house. My great-grandma lived her remaining years in the house with my grandmother. And after she died, her room became a guest room. This room I will refer to as the flower room. The second bedroom was used as my grandma's craft room. She liked to make jewelry that was huge and gaudy. Many of the pieces she had little faces surrounded by beads, and those always creeped me out. After some time, this room was also used as a guest room, and although the craft supplies had been packed away, the face necklaces stayed out on a somewhat of a display. This room I will refer to as the craft room, although it was no longer being used as such. The third bedroom was the master suite, my grandmother's room. It was down the hallway from the other two rooms. The flower and craft rooms were connected by a Jack and Jill bathroom. After my great-grandma died, the flower room was vacant for a few months. Slowly the family went through her things, taking their keepsakes and donating the rest. She had a walk-in closet in her room, and that was converted eventually into a storage. Mostly for like Christmas decorations and things that my grandmother picked up on her travels. The woman absolutely loved to visit faraway islands. She loved to go to Taiwan, and places like Indonesia seemed to be some of her favorite trips. After about a year of her passing, the family started to notice that the fan and the light in the room would change from on to off or vice versa when you left the room. If you had the fan on but the light off when you left the room, when you came back the fan would be off and the light would be on. At first, we thought it was maybe the remote to the thing that was malfunctioning, so new batteries were put in, but it kept on happening. So maybe it was just the actual remote that was broken. So the batteries were removed and the remote thrown in a drawer. That was not it. Maybe the wiring was the problem, and it was just now causing an issue. So an electrician was called to look at it. Everything was fine, so a new fan was put in. When the new fan continued to turn off and on its own, it was decided to just ignore it. The logic, I guess, was that the room was hardly used, so it really shouldn't be an issue. It only seemed to get worse. The fan would start to turn on at such a high speed that it would shake or swing back and forth so violently that the chain would whip around and thwack the lights so much that it could be heard anywhere in the house, even if the doors were closed. My grandmother, who is one of the least religious people I have ever met, ended up going to a church and asked a priest to come over and bless the room and tell her mother that, if it were her, she could move on. The priest agreed and blessed the room. My grandmother no longer thought it could have been her mother in the room, because after they were done blessing the room, she noticed all the photos of my great-grandma had broken glass. The fan would stop for some time, but the on and off thing would return, at first occasionally, but then more frequently. After this next part, during one of our visits to my grandma's house, my sister and I were going to be there at the same time as my cousin. This was especially exciting because we never got to see these cousins, as she lived in Texas and we lived in California. Regardless, every time we got to see her, it was like we were all best friends and no time had ever passed. At the time, I was about 8 or 9, and my cousin and I were going to share a room because my sister, being the oldest, had argued that she should be allowed to have her own room. So we took the flower room, which also happened to be the main bedroom the kids always slept in anyway. I think in part since the craft room had a creepy face necklace, I think most of us didn't want to be there. I should mention that the bed in the flower room was a queen-size bed that we shared. I do not think we noticed anything strange until maybe the second or third night when my cousin and I heard tapping or incredibly soft knocking at one of the doors. We assumed it was just my sister tapping on the bedroom door because she was so bored, or maybe lonely. So my cousin told her to go to bed. She was the loser who thought it would be better to have her own room by herself anyway. The tapping stopped, so we figured she just went to bed. The next night, I was already asleep, and I was awoken sometime in the middle of the night by my cousin telling my sister to stop knocking at the door. As I woke up, I could hear the soft knocking rather than a tapping as it was, a little louder than the last time. As soon as my cousin got up and out of bed to go open the door, the sound stopped almost as if nothing were ever there. The knocking returned the next night and the same thing happened. Just as my cousin got to the door, the sound stopped. In the morning, she told my sister to stop bothering us in the middle of the night, or she would get in trouble. My sister said she had no idea what we were talking about, but whatever. That night, we both woke up and there was no tapping or knocking sound. So whispering to each other like kids do, we both asked if each other was awake. Then, we were both kind of just lying there, and she asked me why I had woken up. I told her I was not sure and asked why she was up, and of course, neither of us knew what woke us up. Then it dawned on us that the walk-in closet had this incredibly loud squeak whenever it opened. And that must have been what woke us up. We only realized this because we heard it squeak again and the door opened, just a crack, maybe only a foot or so. There was no air on, and the window was not open, so we knew it was not from a breeze. And besides, we never went in there or opened the door, so a breeze in the room should not have been noticeable at all, honestly. In the dark of the room, we hear what can only be described as the sounds of someone or something crawling on the floor clumsily from the closet toward the foot of the bed. Then, for a few moments, both of us too scared to voice the questions of, "Did you hear that?" when there is a sensation of someone gently pulling the covers from the foot of the bed. But the cover is only pulled halfway off the bed. At this point, the two of us are hugging each other and trying our best to watch the bed. The blanket stopped moving, and we just sit there for a minute or so. My heart felt like it was going to pound out of my chest. Suddenly, there's what looks like a cat that jumped onto the bed. But it's all wrong. It does not fully look like a cat. Even now as an adult, I cannot really explain it. Something about the shape of its head and upper arms were just wrong. But this thing's eyes, I will never forget it. It had red, almost glowing eyes. It just looked at us for what felt like the longest time, but was probably only just a few seconds. When it finally started towards us, we both jumped off the bed and ran out of the room through the bathroom door so that we would not have to get any closer to this thing. We slammed the bathroom door behind us and locked it and ran into the craft room and locked that door as well. As we clambered into the bed with my sister, she woke up and told us to get out of her bed and room. When she turned on the light, she saw that we were both white as a sheet and did not ask any questions. The rest of the night, the three of us stayed awake with the lights on. In the morning, she asked us if we had seen the thing. We said yes. She said she saw it last time she and I were there, and at the time thought it might have been Peaches the dog. But the dog could not jump on the furniture. It would be way too big to be mistaken for anything. But that was why she did not want to sleep in the flower room anymore. When we did finally go back to the flower room, it looked like there had been a tornado that had gone through the room. My grandmother never said anything to us about the room, when we thought we would get into trouble for the mess, but I guess no one cared. None of us stayed in the flower room ever again, though, instead opting to sleep out in the living room. It was not until later that I realized that there had been no sound that night. I know I screamed when I ran from the room, but I never heard a sound. There was also a clock in the room that you could hear the tick of every second that was missing in the silence of the room while the covers were being pulled. My grandmother lived in that house for almost 15 years, and visiting her was never really the same. The flower room largely avoided, the return of the sound from the chain of the fan ignored. As an adult, I now wonder, whatever lives in that room, was it my great-grandma, unrested, or was it something else that was attached to my grandma and one of the trinkets from her travels? Maybe it was something else entirely. Whatever it might have been, I do not think the new owners were told about the flower room. Hi, Swamp Dweller. I would like to start off by saying that I am from India, and I am a huge listener of your channel. I enjoy listening to these stories, so I thought I would share this allegedly true paranormal experience my friend had. This will be from their perspective. This happened in June. One Tuesday night, I was laying on the bed, watching something on my phone. I normally sleep around 1 a.m., since I have a very bad sleeping schedule, but on this night, I tried sleeping at around 11:30 p.m. because I had online classes the next day. So, my mom wears these rubber slippers at home because her feet tend to get cold. These slippers make a very weird and downright irritating sound, which I really dislike. I tucked into bed, hoping to fall asleep. Just then, though, I heard what sounded like my mom's slippers. Initially, I thought she was going to get water or something, so I just ignored it and tried to go to sleep. The noise persisted, though. This time, it was much slower than before. There were extended gaps in between each step, which started to spook me. Suddenly, it felt as though the noise was getting louder, and someone was walking towards me. Then again, I tried to make it make sense by thinking it was probably my mom coming to check whether I had fallen asleep or not, and dismissed all the noise as, you know, just my mom. I switched on the lamp near my bed, and no one was there. This is where I began to freak out. A lot. I was even scared to walk up to my mom's room. The sound kept coming. Sometimes it was as though someone was walking towards me, and sometimes away. I was afraid to switch the lamp back on. That is when I saw light coming from my mom's room. I quickly got up and ran to her, and told her what happened. She tried to calm me down and told me to sleep with her. I managed to finally fall asleep sometime at around 2 a.m. When I woke up in the morning, I noticed my mom walking back and forth. When I asked her what was wrong, she told me that her slippers were missing. I was confused as it was always near her bed because that is where she leaves them every night. Nonetheless, I went to look for her slippers. I looked everywhere except for my room as I was sure it could not have been there. I went to my room and I was absolutely shocked to find them, right next to my bed in a position as though someone were about to get down and wear them. I got very scared and ran to my mom. Nothing of this sort has ever happened, ever again, but this incident still gives me the chills whenever I think about it.
So, it was November 2016. I was preparing for my board exam and used to spend most of my time in classes. So one evening, I was stuck in my class for some reason and got out very late. It was around 10:30 p.m. when I took a shortcut to reach home early. The road used is very quiet at night and had an old abandoned hospital which was closed to 12 to 13 years. So I was walking past that hospital, had my headphones in, and was mumbling a song when I felt someone following me. I looked back, but no one was there, so I started to walk again. As I was walking, I saw a lady at some distance walking ahead of me. I thought she was from my colony, as she looked like a woman from the neighborhood from the looks of her back. So I called her name to stop her so that we could go home together. But as I called her, I noticed that she started walking even faster. so I started to run towards her, and she kept going even faster. But the strange thing is, I was running and she was barely walking, but still, she was going so fast, and I stopped chasing her. Just then, she stopped too. As I slowly approached her, my phone rang. Pulled out my phone from my pocket, and I was about to pick up the call, but then it got disconnected. I saw there was no bar in the network box, and my phone was on an emergency call. It was strange because I often take this road and always had a full network, so I kept my phone inside, and as I looked up, the lady was gone. I looked here and there, but the road was totally empty, except for me. The road is completely straight for about 1 mile. There was no turns, no place to hide, and the woman was just in front of me 5 seconds ago. I got chills all over my body. I felt this weird coldness like I can't explain. My brain stopped working, and I just started running as fast as I could. I reached home and told my family everything that happened. I was very scared and panting, like I was fighting for air. I got a high fever that night that lasted for 3 days. Many people have experienced the same thing I did when walking on that road late at night. Some people think that a ghost of a pregnant woman who died during childbirth due to complication in the hospital was haunting the road. The hospital was believed to be cursed since then, and allegedly, that was why it was closed. I stopped taking the road, but this incident will forever scare the heck out of me.
This is kind of a short one, but it has been a while since I have submitted a story to the swamp, so I figured why not. I recently got a short gig working at a bar. Though I did not work there exceptionally long, I did have one experience with the bar's ghost. The bar I worked at was a small one out in the countryside that does not really get much of a crowd. I usually work the night shift about 5 to 2 in the morning. Before even working my first night shift, I was told about at least 3 ghosts. One that haunts the docks across the road, one that likes to move furniture in the main bar room, and one that haunted the back rooms. Supposedly, the one that haunts the back room is a notorious prankster. I was told that he died while drunkenly driving a motorcycle around. Apparently, he was beheaded after running into some sort of beam that was sticking out of the dumpster in the parking lot. Since then, it is said that he sticks around and does things like messing with the jukebox and throwing pennies at bartenders when they are locking up for the night. My story is a bit mundane, but I was pretty humored by it and kind of creeped out. It was my first night shift on the job and my first time working alone and unsupervised. I was told that if I do not get any customers by midnight, I could lock up for the night and go home. I hate staying up late, so I was thrilled when no customers came in from between 11 to 12, so I hustled to kill the power and lock everything up before any more customers could come in. I was nearly done turning off the lights and unplugging all the TVs in the jukebox for the night, so I went to the back to unplug the open sign, where I heard someone call, "Hello?" I looked up, inhaled deeply, and cussed to myself, thinking that I would have to plug everything back in and stay open until 2 a.m. So, I very unhappily go to the front only to see the bar completely empty. I looked out at the parking lot and it was vacant, save for my car, and I did not see another human being in the bar or walking around the bar. So I started locking the doors. That is when I feel a penny smack me in the back of the head. I rolled my eyes and continued locking up. All I can say is that ghost done fooled me, made me think I had a customer and could not go home early. I guess that was his way of welcoming me to the bar. Like I said, not a really creepy story, but something to think about nonetheless. There definitely is something more to the afterlife. I am a personal support worker, working in a retirement home. This facility is not terribly old, 7 years at most. But with any building where death occurs, there are some strange things that happen. The nursing station has a direct view of the dining room and the fireplace room. On night shift, you can often find the rocking chairs swinging by themselves, the lamps turning on or off, the dining room doors opening or closing, and the dining room chairs being pulled back from the tables. The second floor is where most of the activity actually occurs. We have multiple residents who claim that there's a little boy who will come visit them at night, sit on their beds, and ask them to play. Multiple staff members experience cold spots, hear someone crying, or calling out for help only to find no one in distress. Growling and strange animalistic sounds are not uncommon as well. One room on the second floor has even been turned to storage after there were incidents with three different residents. The first one started hearing bangs and strange noises at night. This escalated to her claiming she was pushed one night when going to the bathroom, causing her to break her collarbone. We moved her to a different room when she returned from the hospital. The second was adamant that something was staring at her all night long from her bedroom doorway. Glowing eyes, guttural sounds, the whole nine yards. After only a few months, she said that she was pulled from her bed by whatever this thing was and dragged. There were no injuries this time, but she ended up moving to a completely different facility. The third and final resident of that room had all the same complaints as the others, but one night, he was pulled from his bed and the injuries sustained were significant. I happened to be working that night and it truly looked as though something clawed his legs, back, arms, and chest. There was so much blood in the carpet, it had to be pulled out and replaced. He said something grabbed his feet, pulled him out of the bed, dragging him into the living room, all while clawing at him. Each resident, upon arrival, is given a pendant like a life alert to push if they need assistance. The pendant for that room still goes off to this day, even though it was deactivated years ago. I don't know what's happening here. I have no idea if that room is some sort of gateway, or if it's maybe just haunted by something entirely different. But there's something evil in that room. Is it possible I might have a ghost dog as a friend? So, this story goes way deeper than this, and I'll give all the info on my encounters that I can. Names have been changed. When I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend that was a dog. His name was Skippy, and he went everywhere with me. My mom said, when she asked me who Skippy was, thinking of it as another, you know, imaginary friend, I told her it was my dog. She asked where he came from, and I told her he came with me, and he's always been with me. I still have the stuffed animal I felt represented him best. He's a little brown dog with a red bow and brown-black eyes. Right now, he's in storage, since I'm about to move. Sorry, Skippy, and I don't want to lose him. So, if that's not weird enough, there's more. There were others, too. Other people, maybe? I'm not entirely sure of how to word it. One of the earliest ones I remember was the dancing lady. I don't remember this entirely, only in the story being told. My mother was cooking at the stove, and to the left of the stove we have some steps that led to the stairs that go upstairs to the second floor. I was maybe 2 or 3 years old at the time, sitting and watching my mom cook. She went to back up to open the oven or something, and I cried out, "Mom, look out!" And, confused, she asked why, "Look out for what?" And I replied, "The dancing lady. Can't you see her? She's right behind you." Years later, my friend, we'll call her Molly, is staying the night, and we are being teenage girls playing on the computer and hanging out. Eventually, we get ready to go to bed. At some point in the night, we went downstairs to go get a drink or a snack, and I guess she saw the dancing lady. The next morning, we wake up and she starts asking the history of the house and telling me she saw a lady dancing in the kitchen. And I'm like, "Molly, are you serious?" I shared the story of when I was a kid. We were both seriously freaked out about that. There was also another younger girl. I never learned her name or what she did, but I always felt her presence in the house. Like, you know when someone walks behind you and you feel their energy, like, okay, someone's behind me, I gotta make sure not to step back into them. That's how it always felt when she was around. I noticed this when I was probably 9 or 10, and always knew she was around until I was 15 or 16, maybe a bit older. I think there was a man too. An older man, tall, always in black. He had such an awful energy to him, always angry and violent feeling. I don't like thinking about him. Late at night, there would be knocks on my door, maybe the house setting, I don't know, which was up on the second floor. Then there would be this, like, nails dragging on a wall sound. It was such an awful sound. My bedroom was parallel with the wall that leads to the bathroom, and I wish it was my older brother, but when I heard these noises and knocking, it was late at night. My brother at the time was working the third shift, and I was 14 or 15 when this was happening. My last experience is the most vivid. This was when I was like 2 years old, and I was first able to get up the stairs. I remember the gate was down, and there was a baby gate. My mom didn't want me to fall down the stairs, but I didn't give a crap. I love those stairs, and I was just a kid. I was hearing noises coming from my mom's room, which was the master bedroom. The master bedroom was shaped sort of like a square peanut, wide and long. To the left, when you entered, was a smaller square where there were some storage closets built into the walls. To the right, where the bed and the dresser were, and the windows that led out to the roof where I like to sit. So I crawled up the stairs with my dog Daisy, best dog ever, I miss her every day, to investigate because I'm a baby and I got balls, and I get up there and go through the door. The doors don't actually close. It's really, really old. And inside is a group of like 9 men playing cards and smoking cigars. I remember their faces and how they looked so very vividly. Most wore these derby hats that were dressed in black and brown suits. Very dapper-looking men for sure. They were laughing and talking and making bets, just having a good old time. I don't remember much after that, and I'd love to think it was my overactive imagination, but it just felt so real. It was so vivid. The smell of cigar smoke, the chatter and laughter, the feel of the stairs on my hands, and my dog whose hair stood up on end the entire time. Daisy was a real dog. She was my friend, my best friend as a kid, but not Skippy. She was a black lab with the sweetest brown eyes, chunky and shaggy. I loved her so much, I like to think of her as sort of a protective being, like a second mom for me, but a dog. Here's a little background on the house I grew up in. I really don't know much, but I do know it was built around 1920 and 1924. It was originally 2 stories, and later had some additions built on, a back porch and a side office room. The house next door may have been connected to my house on the same property at some point. The house next door was a brothel, and I know this because each bedroom had its own bathroom, and the living room was sort of split off. The front entrance was smaller, and then you went through 2 double doors in the huge living room. The kitchen was tiny, and it had a little second room just behind it. I loved that house. My dad's friend Terry owned it, and she was a big influence in my life growing up. We would go to the beach together, and I'd sleep over at her house, and she was like an aunt to me. I haven't heard from her in many years, and I'd love to know how she is. But her house was huge, and I loved it. It was built just before my house was, and is a historical property in that area. My house has a marker out front with its geographical location because I'm not really sure, but I'll have my mom take a picture of it. Anyway, there's a rumor that someone committed suicide in my house. Like, not the people before us, but much before that. They said it was the stepmom of the guy who lived there. I never encountered anything like that, but I've hated that house since my childhood. Maybe not hate, but like, really don't want to go back, I guess. Does anyone have any advice or ideas? Thanks in advance. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true unexplained horror stories. If you enjoyed this video and the stories that I read within it, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're on iTunes or another podcast platform, please be sure to rate this 5 stars as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day. And all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's something paranormal or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Much thanks and appreciation to my friend Curious Raven, who helped read story number 3 today. If you enjoy her voice, please be sure to check out their channel and subscribe. I think you'll enjoy their content. If you're on the go, but still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories wherever you are, you can do so absolutely free by downloading them from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Like I said, it's absolutely free to do so, and supports the show nonetheless. If you want to support the show further, outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out the merch store. I have everything from face masks, to hoodies, to shirts, and more. We also have an exclusive winter 2020 design that will not be printed after New Year's, so be sure to get one before it's too late. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.